Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been.
Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is November 17th, 2013, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. Well, it's only been 2 days after the amazing podcast with Dr. Eric Hanel, the newest member of the Beam Dream team. The Sunday Bloody Sunday episode on epistaxis and transigamic acid is setting records for number of views and downloads. Viva la FOMED! However, there has been a development that requires, yes, a second podcast in the same week. If Amamatu can wake up Mel Herbert on the West Coast with an article from the New England Journal of Medicine and he puts out a podcast, well, then when Anand Swami from New York City sends me an email saying, "Hey Ken, did you see the article on pre-hospital therapeutic hypothermia for cardiac arrest in JAMA yesterday?" Well, I'm not saying this is going to turn out to be a whole East Coast, West Coast thing. But Mel, I give you episode number 54 of the SGEM, entitled, "Baby, It's Cold Outside." Case scenario, a 72-year-old man has a witnessed arrest while watching his grandson's hockey game. Bystander CPR is started, and he is shocked successfully out of V-fib using the automatic external defibrillator. EMS arrives to find the patient with vital signs stable but unconscious. Paramedics call to the base hospital and ask if they should start cooling en route. So the question is, does pre-hospital cooling improve survival to hospital discharge and neurologic outcome in patients presenting with ventricular fibrillation or without VF? Now, therapeutic hypothermia post-cardiac arrest has received a great deal of attention over the last decade, mainly due to two randomized control trials in the New England Journal of Medicine back in 2002, which showed that hypothermia post-cardiac arrest resuscitation was neuroprotective. One of the articles, with an N of 273, used cooled air mattresses to demonstrate good outcome at 6 months, 55% versus 39%. The smaller Australian study, crikey, with only 77 patients, also published in the New England Journal of Medicine 2002, showed good neurological outcome at time of hospital discharge, 49% versus 26%. Dr. David Newman has calculated the number needed to treat of 6 for mild therapeutic hypothermia for neuroprotection followed cardiopulmonary resuscitation. The Cochrane collaboration updated their review on hypothermia for neuroprotection in adults after CPR in 2012. They concluded, quote, "Conventional cooling methods to induce mild therapeutic hypothermia seems to improve survival and neurologic outcome after cardiac arrest. Our review supports the current best medical practice as recommended by the International Resuscitation Guidelines." End of quote. Well, the SGEM was skeptical after we looked at this issue in episode number 21, entitled "Ice, Ice, Baby." We looked at the paper by Bernard et al., called "Induction of Therapeutic Hypothermia by Paramedics After Resuscitation from Out-of-Hospital Ventricular Fibrillation Cardiac Arrest, a Randomized Control Trial," and this was published in Circulation 2010. The question was whether pre-hospital therapeutic hypothermia may improve patient outcomes after successful resuscitation. The study had 234 patients and used large volumes of ice-cold lactated ringers. The primary outcome was about 50% of patients survived to functional hospital discharge. And there was not, I repeat, not a benefit to cooling. Well, another big chill entered the therapeutic hypothermic literature yesterday, as previously mentioned. The New England Journal published a large study with an N of 950 looking at targeted temperature management after cardiac arrest. The conclusion from the paper was, quote, in unconscious survivors of out-of-hospital cardiac arrest of presumed cardiac cause, hypothermia at targeted temperatures of 33 degrees Celsius did not confer a benefit as compared with a targeted temperature of 36 degrees Celsius. Well, this lit up the blogosphere with postings, tweets, and even a podcast by Mel discussing the implications of this new study. Well, yesterday they came out with another study in JAMA, and the reference was by Kim et al., looking at the effects of pre-hospital induction of mild hypothermia on survival and neurologic status among adults with cardiac arrest, a randomized clinical control trial. The population, big study, adults, N equaled 1,359, with out-of-hospital cardiac arrest and return of spontaneous circulation. The intervention, pre-hospital rapid infusion of 2 liters of 4 degrees Celsius normal saline. Patients also receive 7 to 10 milligrams of pancuronium and 1 to 2 milligrams of diazepam. The control was standard pre-hospital care. Their outcome was survival and neurologic status at hospital discharge and some safety data. It's interesting to look at their exclusion criteria. So they excluded anyone less than 18 years old, traumatic cardiac arrest, being awake at any time, already being hypothermic with a temperature less than 34 degrees Celsius, not intubated, or no IV access. And their main results? Well, they were able to decrease the temperature in the two groups they were looking at. They were looking at VFib and non-VFib arrests, and they were able to decrease the temperature by 1.2 degrees Celsius and 1.3 degrees Celsius respectively, compared to the control patients. Now, if you break it down into survival to hospital discharge, if you were in VFib, your survival to hospital discharge was about 60% in the cool group and about 60% in the control group with a p-value of 0.69. Non-VFib survival to discharge was much worse. The cooled group had about 19% versus the control group of 16%. Again, there was no difference. The p-value was 0.3. How about making a full or mild recovery? Again, in the ventricular fibrillation or VFib group, they had close to 60% in the cool group get full or mild recovery, compared to, again, about 60% in the control group, and there is no difference between the two groups with a p-value of 0.59. And the VFib patients to make a full recovery or only have a mild impairment was about 60% in the cooled group and about 60% in the control group with a p-value of 0.59. When you looked at the non-VF patients, those who made a full recovery or were left with only a mild neurologic impairment, 14% in the cool group versus 13% in the control group, with a p-value of 0.74. Again, no difference. However, rapid cooling groups had more rearrests in the field than the control group, 26% versus 21%, so an absolute difference of 5%, and this was statistically significant with a p-value of 0.08. There was also an increased use of diuretics and pulmonary edema on first chest x-ray in the rapid infusion group. No surprise there. So the author's conclusion, quote, although use of pre-hospital cooling reduced core temperature by hospital arrival and reduced the time to reach that temperature of 34 degrees Celsius, it did not improve survival or neurologic status among patients resuscitated from pre-hospital VFib or those without VFib. So the commentary for this, well, it was a large, well-done randomized control trial of 1,359 patients. The paramedics, ED staff, inpatient docs, and RNs were not blinded. However, the researchers that abstracted the chart data were blinded. The data does clearly show what has been previously observed, that it is better to have a V-fib arrest than a non-V-fib arrest. This data does represent fairly good evidence suggesting that cooling patients prior to hospital arrival after cardiac arrest does not alter survival or neurologic outcome, V-fib or non-V-fib. While no observed benefit, there was observed harm. More patients in the cooling arm re-arrested, which gave you a number needed to harm of 20. So for every 20 patients treated with the cooling protocol, one would have re-arrested. This, however, did not change the aggregate outcome of no difference in survival or neurologic outcome. So why was there such a difference between the two 2002 New England Journal of Medicine studies and this new JAMA article? While the early studies only included VF arrests, the new study included VF and non-VF arrests. However, there was no benefit seen in either group, whether they were rapidly cooled or not. One of the New England Journal of Medicine articles only included 8% of patients considered for eligibility with out-of-hospital cardiac arrest, but that compared to 24% in this 2013 JAMA study. That's three times the difference. So perhaps there is that select group that would benefit from therapeutic hypothermia, depending on the inclusion and exclusion criteria. Now, the other 2002 New England Journal of Medicine trial was very small, with only 77 patients, compared to this much larger new trial of 1,359 patients. Perhaps the difference in this small trial was due to chance alone. Their numbers showed 21 out of 43 cooled patients survived versus only 9 out of 34 controlled patients, with a p-value of 0.046. Now, both studies were unblinded, but perhaps the bias was more in favor of cooling in that small preliminary trial. This may have introduced unrecognized changes in management, which could have impacted on the results of such a small trial. In contrast, the unblinded JAMA investigators would have been aware of the other 2010 pre-hospital trial reporting no difference. This new pre-hospital cooling data from JAMA, combined with the recent New England Journal of Medicine article about in-hospital cooling, really does put a chill on this type of intervention. More information will become available as other members of the Beam Dream team review this topic. The beauty of being a skeptic is that you can change your mind when presented with new or compelling information. So stay tuned. I am sure the conversation about therapeutic hypothermia is not over. But the bottom line, scoop and run after cardiac arrest with no cooling required in the field. This is the same bottom line we gave after reviewing the 2010 article. The case scenario conclusion? The 72-year-old patient who had the witnessed cardiac arrest while watching his grandson's hockey game was not cooled in the field, but he was upon arrival as part of a pre-existing protocol. He survived to hospital admission, but unfortunately did not survive to hospital discharge. The Keener contest from the episode earlier this week, from episode number 53, Sunday, Bloody Sunday, was Afat Azad from McGill University, who knew that toxic shock was the feared serious infectious complication of nasal packing. Congratulations. The Keener contest for this podcast, name the two famous Canadian crooners who sang Baby It's Cold Outside on today's podcast. Be the first person to email thesgem@gmail.com with the correct answer and I will send you a cool skeptical prize. All this talk about pre-hospital cooling has reminded me about the great Beam conferences coming up this winter. There is Ski Beam, Steel Beam, and of course, Sweet Beam in Stockholm, Sweden. Hope to see you there in person at one of these events. And remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on The Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
But it's cold outside. Baby, it's cold.